Seth was in full report mode now, knowing it was all vitally interesting to me, though I'd never have asked to hear it. Bella's been running a fever off and on today. Just low grade, sweats and then chills. Carlisle's not sure what to make of it. She might just be sick. Her immune system can't be in peak form right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
She's in a good mood, though. She was chatting with Charlie, laughing and all.
Charlie? What? What do you mean she was talking to Charlie?
Now Seth's pace stuttered. My fury surprised him. Guess he calls every day to talk to her. Sometimes her mom calls, too. Bella sounds so much better now, so she was reassuring him that she was on the mend.
On the mend? What the hell are they thinking? Get Charlie's hopes up just so that he can be destroyed even worse when she dies? I thought they were getting him ready for that, trying to prepare him. Why would she set him up like this?
She might not die, Seth thought quietly. I took a deep breath, trying to calm myself.
Seth, even if she pulls through this, she's not doing it human. She knows that, and so do the rest of them. If she doesn't die, she's going to have to do a pretty convincing impersonation of a corpse, kid. Either that or disappear. I thought they were trying to make this easier on Charlie. Why?
Think it's Bella's idea. No one said anything, but Edward's face kinda went right along with what you're thinking now.
On the same wavelength with the bloodsucker yet again. We ran in silence for a few minutes. I started off along a new line, probing south.
Don't get too far.
Why?
Bella asked me to ask you to stop by.
My teeth locked together.
Alice wants you too. She says she's tired of hanging out in the attic like the vampire bat in the belfry.
Seth snorted a laugh.
I was switching off with Edward before, trying to keep Bella's temperature stable, cold to hot as needed. I guess if you don't want to do it, I could go back.
No, I got it, I snapped.
Okay.
Seth didn't make any more comments. He concentrated very hard on the empty forest. I kept my southern course, searching for anything new. I turned around when I got close to the first signs of habitation. Not near the town yet, but I didn't want to get any wolf rumors going again. We'd been nice and invisible for a long while now. I passed right through the perimeter on my way back, heading for the house. As much as I knew it was a stupid thing to do, I couldn't stop myself. I must be some kind of masochist.
There's nothing wrong with you, Jake. This isn't the most normal situation.
Shut up, please, Seth.
Shutting.
I didn't hesitate at the door this time. I just walked through like I owned the place. I figured that would piss Rosalie off, but it was a wasted effort. Neither Rosalie or Bella were anywhere in sight. I looked around wildly, hoping I'd miss them somewhere, my heart squeezing against my ribs in a weird, uncomfortable way.
She's all right, Edward whispered. Or the same, I should say.
Edward was on the couch with his face in his hands. He hadn't looked up to speak. Esme was next to him, her arm wrapped tight around his shoulders.
Hello, Jacob, she said. I'm so glad you came back.
Me too,
Alice said with a deep sigh. She came prancing down the stairs, making a face, like I was late for an appointment. Hey, I said. It felt weird to try to be polite. Where's Bella?
Bathroom, Alice told me. Mostly fluid diet, you know. Plus the whole pregnancy thing does that to you, I hear.
Ah. I stood there awkwardly, rocking back and forth on my heels.
Oh, wonderful,
Rosalie grumbled. I whipped my head around and saw her coming from a hall half hidden behind the stairway. She had Bella cradled gently in her arms, a harsh sneer on her face for me.
I knew I smelled something nasty.
And, just like before, Bella's face lit up like a kid's on Christmas morning, like I'd brought her the greatest gift ever. It was so unfair.
Jacob,
she breathed.
You came.
Hi, Bells. Esme and Edward both got up. I watched how carefully Rosalie laid Bella out on the couch. I watched how, despite that, Bella turned white and held her breath, like she was set on not making any noise no matter how much it hurt. Edward brushed his hand across her forehead and then along her neck. He tried to make it look as if he was just sweeping her hair back, but it looked like a doctor's examination to me.
Are you cold?
He murmured.
I'm fine. Bella, you know what Carlyle told you,
Rosalie said.
Don't downplay anything. It doesn't help us take care of either of you. Okay, I'm a little cold. Edward, can you hand me that blanket?
I rolled my eyes. Isn't that sort of the point of me being here?
You just walked in,
Bella said.
After running all day, I'd bet. Put your feet up for a minute. I'll probably warm up again in no time.
I ignored her, going to sit on the floor next to the sofa while she was still telling me what to do. At that point, though, I wasn't sure how. She looked pretty brittle, and I was afraid to move her, even to put my arms around her. So I just leaned carefully against her side, letting my arm rest along the length of hers, and held her hand. Then I put my other hand against her face. It was hard to tell if she felt colder than usual.
Thanks, Jake,
she said, and I felt her shiver once. Yeah, I said. Edward sat on the arm of the sofa by Bella's feet, his eyes always on her face. It was too much to hope, with all the super hearing in the room, that no one would notice my stomach rumbling.
Rosalie, why don't you get Jacob something from the kitchen?
Alice said. She was invisible now, sitting quietly behind the back of the sofa. Rosalie stared at the place Alice's voice had come from in disbelief. Thanks anyway, Alice, but I don't think I'd want to eat something Blondie spit in. I'd bet my system wouldn't take too kindly to venom.
Rosalie would never embarrass Esme by displaying such a lack of hospitality.
Of course not,
Blondie said in a sugar-sweet voice that I immediately distrusted. She got up and breezed out of the room. Edward sighed. You'd tell me if she poisoned it, right? I asked.
Yes,
Edward promised. And for some reason, I believed him. There was a lot of banging in the kitchen, and weirdly, the sound of metal protesting as it was abused. Edward sighed again, but smiled just a little too. Then Rosalie was back before I could think much more about it. With a pleased smirk, she set a silver bowl on the floor next to me.
Enjoy, mongrel.
It had once probably been a big mixing bowl, but she'd bent the bowl back in on itself until it was shaped almost exactly like a dog dish. I had to be impressed with her quick craftsmanship and her attention to detail. She'd scratched the word Fido into the side. Excellent handwriting. Because the food looked pretty good, steak no less, and a big baked potato with all the fixings, I told her, Thanks, Blondie. She snorted. Hey, do you know what you call a blonde with a brain? I asked, and then continued on the same breath. A golden retriever.
I've heard that one too,
she said, no longer smiling. I'll keep trying, I promised, and then I dug in. She made a disgusted face and rolled her eyes. Then she sat in one of the armchairs and started flicking through channels on the big TV so fast that there was no way she could really be surfing for something to watch. The food was good, even with the vampire stink in the air. I was getting really used to that. Huh, not something I'd been wanting to do exactly. When I was finished, though I was considering licking the bowl just to give Rosalie something to complain about, I felt Bella's cold fingers pulling softly through my hair. She patted it down against the back of my neck. Time for a haircut, huh?
You're getting a little shaggy, she said. Maybe.
Let me guess. Someone around here used to cut hair in a salon in Paris. She chuckled.
Probably.
No thanks, I said before she could really offer. I'm good for a few more weeks. Which made me wonder how long she was good for. I tried to think of a polite way to ask. So, what's the, date? You know, the due date for the little monster. She smacked the back of my head with about as much force as a drifting feather, but didn't answer. I'm serious, I told her. I want to know how long I'm gonna have to be here. How long you're gonna be here, I added in my head. I turned to look at her then. Her eyes were thoughtful. The stress line was there between her brows again.
I don't know, she murmured. Not exactly. Obviously, we're not going with the 9-month model here, and we can't get an ultrasound, so Carlyle is guesstimating from how big I am. Normal people are supposed to be about 40 centimeters here.
She ran her finger right down the middle of her bulging stomach.
When the baby is fully grown, 1 centimeter for every week. I was 30 this morning, and I've been gaining about 2 centimeters a day, sometimes more.
2 weeks to a day. The days flying by. Her life speeding by and fast forward. How many days did that give her if she was counting to 40? 4? It took me a minute to figure out how to swallow.
You okay?
She asked. I nodded, not really sure how my voice would come out. Edward's face was turned away from us as he listened to my thoughts, but I could see his reflection in the glass wall. He was the Burning Man again. Funny how having a deadline made it harder to think about leaving, or having her leave. I was glad Seth had brought that up, so I knew they were staying here. It would be intolerable, wondering if they were about to go, to take away 1 or 2 or 3 of those 4 days. My 4 days. Also funny how, even knowing that it was almost over, the hold she had on me only got harder to break. Almost like it was related to her expanding belly, as if by getting bigger she was gaining gravitational force. For a minute I tried to look at her from a distance, to separate myself from the pull. I knew it wasn't my imagination that my need for her was stronger than ever. Why was that? Because she was dying? Or knowing that even if she didn't, still, best case scenario, she'd be changing into something else that I wouldn't know or understand. She ran her finger across my cheekbone, and my skin was wet where she touched it.
It's going to be okay,
she sort of crooned. It didn't matter that the words meant nothing. She said it the way people sang those senseless nursery rhymes to kids. Rock-a-bye, baby. Right, I muttered. She curled against my arm, resting her head on my shoulder.
I didn't think you would come. Seth said you would, and so did Edward, but I didn't believe them.
Why not? I asked gruffly.
You're not happy here, but you came anyway.
You wanted me here.
I know, but you didn't have to come, because it's not fair for me to want you here. I would have understood.
It was quiet for a minute. Edward had put his face back together. He looked at the TV as Rosalie went on flipping through the channels. She was into the 600s. I wondered how long it would take to get back to the beginning.
Thank you for coming,
Bella whispered. Can I ask you something? I asked.
Of course.
Edward didn't look like he was paying attention to us at all, but he knew what I was about to ask, so he didn't fool me. Why do you want me here? Seth could keep you warm, and he's probably easier to be around, happy little punk. But when I walk in the door, you smile like I'm your favorite person in the world.
You're one of them.
That sucks, you know?
Yeah,
she sighed.
Sorry.
Why, though? You didn't answer that. Edward was looking away again, like he was staring out the windows. His face was blank in the reflection.
It feels complete when you're here, Jacob. Like all my family is together. I mean, I guess that's what it's like. I've never had a big family before now. It's nice.
She smiled for half a second.
But it's just not whole unless you're here.
I'll never be part of your family, Bella. I could have been. I would have been good there. But that was just a distant future that died long before it had a chance to live.
You've always been a part of my family,
she disagreed. My teeth made a grinding sound. That's a crap answer.
What's a good one?
How about, Jacob, I get a kick out of your pain. I felt her flinch.
You'd like that better?
She whispered. It's easier, at least. I could wrap my head around it. I could deal with it. I looked back down at her face then, so close to mine. Her eyes were shut and she was frowning.
We got off track, Jake. Out of balance. You're supposed to be part of my life. I can feel that and so can you.
She paused for a second without opening her eyes, like she was waiting for me to deny it. When I didn't say anything, she went on.
But not like this. We did something wrong. No, I did. I did something wrong and we got off track.
Her voice trailed off, and the frown on her face relaxed until it was just a little pucker at the corner of her lips. I waited for her to pour some more lemon juice into my paper cuts, but then a soft snore came from the back of her throat.
She's exhausted, Edward murmured. It's been a long day, a hard day. I think she would have gone to sleep earlier, but she was waiting for you.
I didn't look at him. Seth said it broke another of her ribs.
Yes. It's making it hard for her to breathe.
Great.
Let me know when she gets hot again.
Yeah. She still had goosebumps on the arm that wasn't touching mine. I'd barely raised my head to look for a blanket when Edward snagged one draped over the arm of the sofa and flung it out so that it settled over her. Occasionally, the mind-reading thing saved time. For example, maybe I wouldn't have to make a big production out of the accusation about what was going on with Charlie. That mess. Edward would just hear exactly how furious.
Yes, he agreed. It's not a good idea.
Then why? Why was Bella telling her father she was on the mend when it would only make him more miserable?
She can't bear his anxiety.
So it's better?
No, it's not better. But I'm not going to force her to do anything that makes her unhappy now. Whatever happens, this makes her feel better. I'll deal with the rest afterward.
That didn't sound right. Bella wouldn't just shuffle Charlie's pain off to some later date for someone else to face. Even dying, that wasn't her. If I knew Bella, she had to have some other plan.
She's very sure she's going to live, Edward said.
But not human, I protested.
No, not human. But she hopes to see Charlie again anyway.
Oh, this just got better and better. See, Charlie. I finally looked at him, my eyes bugging. Afterwards. See Charlie when she's all sparkly white with the bright red eyes? I'm not a bloodsucker, so maybe I'm missing something, but Charlie seems like kind of a strange choice for her first meal.
Edward sighed. She knows she won't be able to be near him for at least a year. She thinks she can stall. Tell Charlie she has to go to a special hospital on the other side of the world. Keep in contact through phone calls.
That's insane.
Yes.
Charlie's not stupid. Even if she doesn't kill him, he's going to notice a difference.
She's sort of banking on that.
I continued to stare, waiting for him to explain.
She wouldn't be aging, of course, so that would set a time limit, even if Charlie accepted whatever excuse she comes up with for the changes.
He smiled faintly.
Do you remember when you tried to tell her about your transformation? How you made her guess?
My free hand flexed into a fist. She told you about that?
Yes. She was explaining her idea. You see, she's not allowed to tell Charlie the truth. It would be very dangerous for him. But he's a smart, practical man. She thinks he'll come up with his own explanation. She assumes he'll get it wrong.
Edward snorted.
After all, we hardly adhere to vampire canon. He'll make some wrong assumption about us, like she did in the beginning, and we'll go along with it. She thinks she'll be able to see him from time to time.
Insane, I repeated.
Yes,
he agreed again. It was weak of him to let her get her way on this, just to keep her happy now. It wouldn't turn out well. Which made me think that he probably wasn't expecting her to live to try out her crazy plan. Placating her, so that she could be happy for a little while longer. Like 4 more days.
I'll deal with whatever comes, he whispered.
And he turned his face down and away so that I couldn't even read his reflection.
I won't cause her pain now.
4 days? I asked. He didn't look up.
Approximately.
Then what?
What do you mean, exactly?
I thought about what Bella had said. About the thing being wrapped up nice and tight in something strong. Something like vampire skin. So how did that work? How did it get out?
From what little research we've been able to do, it would appear the creatures used their own teeth to escape the womb,
he whispered. I had to pause to swallow back the bile. Research? I asked weakly.
That's why you haven't seen Jasper and Emmett around. That's what Carlyle is doing now, trying to decipher ancient stories and myths.
as much as we can with what we have to work with here, looking for anything that might help us predict the creature's behavior. Stories? If there were myths, then...
Then is this thing not the first of its kind?
Edward asked, anticipating my question.
Maybe. It's all very sketchy. The myths could easily be the products of fear and imagination, though...
He hesitated.
Your myths are true, are they not? Perhaps these are too. They do seem to be localized, linked.
How did you find...
There was a woman we encountered in South America. She'd been raised in the traditions of her people. She'd heard warnings about such creatures, old stories that had been passed down.
What were the warnings? I whispered.
That the creature must be killed immediately, before it could gain too much strength.
Just like Sam thought. Was he right?
Of course, their legends say the same of us, that we must be destroyed, that we are soulless murderers.
Two for two. Edward laughed one hard chuckle. What did their story say about the... mothers? Agony ripped across his face, and as I flinched away from his pain, I knew he wasn't going to give me an answer. I doubted he could talk. It was Rosalie, who'd been so still and quiet since Belle had fallen asleep that I'd nearly forgotten her, who answered. She made a scornful noise in the back of her throat.
Of course there were no survivors, she said.
No survivors, blunt and uncaring.
Giving birth in the middle of a disease-infested swamp with a medicine man smearing sloth spit across your face to drive out the evil spirits was never the safest method. Even the normal births went badly half the time. None of them had what this baby has, caregivers with an idea of what the baby needs, who try to meet those needs. A doctor with a totally unique knowledge of vampire nature. A plan in place to deliver the baby as safely as possible. Venom that will repair anything that goes wrong. The baby will be fine. And those other mothers would probably have survived if they'd had that. If they even existed in the first place. Something I am not convinced of.
She sniffed disdainfully. The baby. The baby. Like that was all that mattered. Bella's life was a minor detail to her, easy to blow off. Edward's face went white as snow. His hands curved into claws. Totally egotistical and indifferent, Rosalie twisted in her chair so that her back was to him. He leaned forward, shifting into a crouch. Allow me, I suggested. He paused, raising one eyebrow. Silently, I lifted my doggy bowl off the floor. Then, with a quick, powerful flip of my wrist, I threw it into the back of Blondie's head so hard that, with an ear-splitting bang, it smashed flat before it ricocheted across the room and snapped the round top piece off the thick newel post at the foot of the stairs. Bella twitched but didn't wake up. Dumb blonde, I muttered. Rosalie turned her head slowly, and her eyes were blazing.
You got food in my hair.
That did it. I busted up. I pulled away from Bella so that I wouldn't shake her, and laughed so hard that tears ran down my face. From behind the couch, I heard Alice's tinkling laugh join in. I wondered why Rosalie didn't spring. I sort of expected it. But then I realized that my laughing had woken Bella up, though she'd slept right through the real noise.
What's so funny?
She mumbled. I got food in her hair, I told her, chortling again.
I'm not going to forget this, dog,
Rosalie hissed. It's not so hard to erase a blonde's memory, I countered. Just blow in her ear.
Get some new jokes, she snapped. Come on, Jake. Leave Rose alone.
Bella broke off mid-sentence and sucked in a sharp breath. In the same second, Edward was leaning over the top of me, ripping the blanket out of the way. She seemed to convulse, her back arching off the sofa.
He's just, she panted, stretching.
Her lips were white, and she had her teeth locked together like she was trying to hold back a scream. Edward put both hands on either side of her face.
Carlyle,
he called in a tense, low voice.
Right here, the doctor said.
I hadn't heard him come in.
Okay,
Bella said, still breathing hard and shallow.
Think it's over. Poor kid doesn't have enough room, that's all. He's getting so big.
It was really hard to take, that adoring tone she used to describe the thing that was tearing her up. Especially after Rosalie's callousness. Made me wish I could throw something at Bella, too. She didn't pick up on my mood.
You know, he reminds me of you, Jake,
she said, affectionate tone, still gasping.
Do not compare me to that thing, I spit out through my teeth.
I just meant your growth spurt,
she said, looking like I'd hurt her feelings. Good.
You shot right up. I could watch you getting taller by the minute. He's like that too, growing so fast.
I bit my tongue to keep from saying what I wanted to say, hard enough that I tasted blood in my mouth. Of course, it would heal before I could swallow. That's what Bella needed, to be strong like me, to be able to heal. She took an easier breath and then relaxed back into the sofa, her body going limp.
Hmm,
Carlyle murmured. I looked up, and his eyes were on me. What? I demanded. Edward's head leaned to one side as he reflected on whatever was in Carlyle's head.
You know that I was wondering about the fetus's genetic makeup, Jacob, about his chromosomes.
What of it?
Well, taking your similarities into consideration.
Similarities? I growled, not appreciating the plural.
The accelerated growth, and the fact that Alice cannot see either of you.
I felt my face go blank. I'd forgotten about that other one.
Well, I wonder if that means that we have an answer, if the similarities are gene deep.
24 pairs, Edward muttered under his breath. You don't know that.
No, but it's interesting to speculate,
Carlyle said in a soothing voice. Yeah, just fascinating. Bella's light snore started up again, accenting my sarcasm nicely. They got into it then, quickly taking the genetics conversation to a point where the only words I could understand were the thes and the ands, and my own name, of course. Alice joined in, commenting now and then in her chirpy bird voice. Even though they were talking about me, I didn't try to figure out the conclusions they were drawing. I had other things on my mind, a few facts I was trying to reconcile. Fact one, Bell had said that the creature was protected by something as strong as vampire skin, something that was too impenetrable for ultrasounds, too tough for needles. Fact two, Rosalie had said they had a plan to deliver the creature safely. Fact three, Edward had said that, in myths, other monsters like this one would chew their way out of their own mothers. I shuddered. And that made a sick kind of sense, because, fact four, not many things could cut through something as strong as vampire skin. The half-creature's teeth, according to myth, were strong enough. My teeth were strong enough. And vampire teeth were strong enough. It was hard to miss the obvious, but I sure wished I could, because I had a pretty good idea exactly how Rosalie planned to get that thing safely out. Chapter 16. Too Much Information Alert. I took off early, long before sunrise was due. I'd gotten just a little bit of uneasy sleep leaning against the side of the sofa. Edward woke me when Bella's face was flushed, and he took my spot to cool her back down. I stretched and decided I was rested enough to get some work done.
Thank you, Edward said quietly, seeing my plans. If the route is clear, they'll go today.
I'll let you know. It felt good to get back to my animal self. I was stiff from sitting still for so long. I extended my stride, working out the kinks.
Morning, Jacob,
Leah greeted me. Good, you're up. How long's Seth been out?
Not out yet,
Seth thought sleepily.
Almost there. What do you need?
You think you got another hour in you?
Sure thing. No problem.
Seth got to his feet right away, shaking out his fur. Let's make the deep run, I told Leah. Seth, take the perimeter.
Gotcha,
Seth broke into an easy jog.
Off on another vampire errand?
Leah grumbled. You got a problem with that?
Of course not. I just love to coddle those darling leeches.
Good. Let's see how fast we can run.
Okay, I'm definitely up for that.
Leah was on the far western rim of the perimeter. Rather than cut close to the Cullens' house, she stuck to the circle as she raced around to meet me. I sprinted off straight east, knowing that even with the head start, she'd be passing me soon if I took it easy for even a second. Nose to the ground, Leah. This isn't a race, it's a reconnaissance mission.
I can do both and still kick your butt.
I gave her that one. I know. She laughed. We took a winding path through the eastern mountains. It was a familiar route. We'd run these mountains when the vampires had left a year ago, making it part of our patrol route to better protect the people here. Then we'd pulled back the lines when the Cullens returned. This was their treaty land. But that fact would probably mean nothing to Sam now. The treaty was dead. The question today was how thin he was willing to spread his force. Was he looking for stray Cullens to poach on their land or not? Had Jared spoken the truth, or taken advantage of the silence between us? We got deeper and deeper into the mountains without finding any trace of the pack. Fading vampire trails were everywhere, but the scents were familiar now. I was breathing them in all day long. I found a heavy, somewhat recent concentration on one particular trail. All of them coming and going here except for Edward. Some reason for gathering that must have been forgotten when Edward brought his dying pregnant wife home. I gritted my teeth. Whatever it was, it had nothing to do with me. Leah didn't push herself past me, though she could have now. I was paying more attention to each new scent than I was to the speed contest. She kept to my right side, running with me rather than racing against me.
We're getting pretty far out here, she commented.
Yeah. If Sam was hunting strays, we should have crossed his trail by now.
Makes more sense right now for him to bunker down in La Push, Leah thought. He knows we're giving the bloodsuckers 3 extra sets of eyes and legs. He's not going to be able to surprise them.
This was just a precaution, really.
Wouldn't want our precious parasites taking unnecessary chances.
Nope, I agreed, ignoring the sarcasm.
You've changed so much, Jacob. Talk about 180s.
You're not exactly the same Leah I've always known and loved either.
True. Am I less annoying than Paul now?
Amazingly, yes.
Ah, sweet success.
Congrats. We ran in silence again then. It was probably time to turn around, but neither of us wanted to. It felt nice to run like this. We'd been staring at the same small circle of a trail for too long. It felt good to stretch our muscles and take the rugged terrain. We weren't in a huge hurry, so I thought maybe we should hunt on the way back. Leah was pretty hungry.
Yum, yum,
she thought sourly. It's all in your head, I told her. That's the way wolves eat. It's natural. It tastes fine. If you didn't think about it from a human perspective...
Forget the pep talk, Jacob. I'll hunt. I don't have to like it.
Sure, sure, I agreed easily. It wasn't my business if she wanted to make things harder for herself. She didn't add anything for a few minutes. I started thinking about turning back.
Thank you,
Leah suddenly told me in a much different tone.
For letting me be. For letting me stay. You've been nicer than I had any right to expect, Jacob.
No problem. Actually, I mean that. I don't mind having you here like I thought I would. She snorted, but it was a playful sound.
What a glowing commendation!
Don't let it go to your head.
Okay, if you don't let this go to yours.
She paused for a second.
I think you make a good alpha. Not in the same way Sam does, but in your own way. You're worth following, Jacob.
My mind went blank with surprise. It took me a second to recover enough to respond. Thanks. Not totally sure I'll be able to stop that one from going to my head, though. Where did that come from? She didn't answer right away, and I followed the wordless direction of her thoughts. She was thinking about the future, about what I'd said to Jared the other morning.
about how the time would be up soon, and then I'd go back to the forest. About how I'd promised that she and Seth would return to the pack when the Collins were gone.
I want to stay with you, she told me.
The shock shot through my legs, locking my joints. She blew past me and then put on the brakes. Slowly, she walked back to where I was frozen in place.
I won't be a pain, I swear. I won't follow you around. You can go wherever you want, and I'll go where I want. You'll only have to put up with me when we're both wolves.
She paced back and forth in front of me, swishing her long gray tail nervously.
And as I'm planning on quitting as soon as I can manage it, maybe that won't be so often.
I didn't know what to say.
I'm happier now as a part of your pack than I have been in years.
I want to stay too, Seth thought quietly.
I hadn't realized he'd been paying much attention to us as he ran the perimeter.
I like this pack.
Hey now, Seth, this isn't going to be a pack much longer. I tried to put my thoughts together so they would convince him. We've got a purpose now, but after that's over, I'm just going to go wolf. Seth, you need a purpose. You're a good kid. You're the kind of person who always has a crusade. And there's no way you're leaving La Push now. You're going to graduate from high school and do something with your life. You're going to take care of Sue. My issues are not going to mess up your future.
But Jacob is right,
Leah seconded. You're agreeing with me?
Of course. But none of that applies to me. I was on my way out anyway. I'll get a job somewhere away from La Push. Maybe take some courses at a community college. Get into yoga and meditation to work on my temper issues. And stay a part of this pack for the sake of my mental well-being. Jacob, you can see how that makes sense, right? I won't bother you, you won't bother me, everyone is happy.
I turned back and started loping slowly toward the west. This is a bit much to deal with, Leah. Let me think about it, okay?
Sure, take your time.
It took us longer to make the run back. I wasn't trying for speed. I was just trying to concentrate enough that I wouldn't plow headfirst into a tree. Seth was grumbling a little bit in the back of my head, but I was able to ignore him. He knew I was right. He wasn't going to abandon his mom. He would go back to La Push and protect the tribe like he should. But I couldn't see Leah doing that, and that was just plain scary. A pack of the two of us? No matter the physical distance, I couldn't imagine the intimacy of that situation. I wondered if she'd really thought it through, or if she was just desperate to stay free. Leah didn't say anything as I chewed it over. It was like she was trying to prove how easy it would be if it was just us. We ran into a herd of black-tailed deer just as the sun was coming up, brightening the clouds a little bit behind us. Leah sighed internally, but didn't hesitate. Her lunge was clean and efficient, graceful even. She took down the largest one, the buck, before the startled animal fully understood the danger. Not to be outdone, I swooped down on the next largest deer, snapping her neck between my jaws quickly so she wouldn't feel unnecessary pain. I could feel Leah's disgust warring with her hunger, and I tried to make it easier for her by letting the wolf in me have my head. I'd lived all wolf for long enough that I knew how to be the animal completely, to see his way and think his way. I let the practical instincts take over, letting her feel that too. She hesitated for a second, but then, tentatively, she seemed to reach out with her mind and try to see my way. It felt very strange. Our minds were more closely linked than they had ever been before, because we both were trying to think together. Strange, but it helped her. Her teeth cut through the fur and skin of her kill's shoulder, tearing away a thick slab of streaming flesh. Rather than wince away as her human thoughts wanted to, she let her wolf self react instinctively. It was kind of a numbing thing, a thoughtless thing. It let her eat in peace. It was easy for me to do the same, and I was glad I hadn't forgotten this. This would be my life again soon. Was Leah going to be a part of that life? A week ago, I would have found that idea beyond horrifying. I wouldn't have been able to stand it. But I knew her better now. And relieved from the constant pain, she wasn't the same wolf, not the same girl. We ate together until we both were full.
Thanks,
she told me later, as she was cleaning her muzzle and paws against the wet grass. I didn't bother. It had just started to drizzle, and we had to swim the river again on our way back. I'd get clean enough.
That wasn't so bad, thinking your way.
You're welcome. Seth was dragging when we hit the perimeter. I told him to get some sleep. Leah and I would take over the patrol. Seth's mind faded into unconsciousness just seconds later.
You headed back to the bloodsuckers?
Leah asked. Maybe.
It's hard for you to be there, but hard to stay away too. I know how that feels.
You know, Leah, you might want to think a little bit about the future, about what you really want to do. My head is not going to be the happiest place on earth, and you'll have to suffer right along with me. She thought about how to answer me.
Wow, this is going to sound bad, but honestly, it will be easier to deal with your pain than face mine.
Fair enough.
I know it's going to be bad for you, Jacob. I understand that. Maybe better than you think. I don't like her, but she's your Sam. She's everything you want and everything you can't have.
I couldn't answer.
I know it's worse for you. At least Sam is happy. At least he's alive and well. I love him enough that I want that. I want him to have what's best for him.
She sighed.
I just don't want to stick around to watch.
Do we need to talk about this?
I think we do. Because I want you to know that I won't make it worse for you. Hell, maybe I'll even help. I wasn't born a compassionless shrew. I used to be sort of nice, you know?
My memory doesn't go that far back. We both laughed once.
I'm sorry about this, Jacob. I'm sorry you're in pain. I'm sorry it's getting worse and not better.
Thanks, Leah. She thought about the things that were worse, the black pictures in my head, while I tried to tune her out without much success. She was able to look at them with some distance, some perspective, and I had to admit that this was helpful. I could imagine that maybe I would be able to see it that way too in a few years. She saw the funny side of the daily irritations that came from hanging out around vampires. She liked my ragging on Rosalie, chuckling internally, and even running through a few blonde jokes in her mind that I might be able to work in. But then her thoughts turned serious, lingering on Rosalie's face in a way that confused me.
You know what's crazy? She asked.
Well, almost everything is crazy right now. But what do you mean?
That blonde vampire you hate so much? I totally get her perspective.
For a second, I thought she was making a joke that was in very poor taste. And then, when I realized she was serious, the fury that ripped through me was hard to control. It was a good thing we'd spread out to run our watch. If she'd been within biting distance...
Hold up, let me explain.
Don't want to hear it. I'm out of here.
Wait, wait,
she pleaded as I tried to calm myself enough to face back.
Come on, Jake.
Leah, this isn't really the best way to convince me that I want to spend more time with you in the future.
Yeesh, what an overreaction. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
So what are you talking about? And then she was suddenly the pain-hardened Leah from before.
I'm talking about being a genetic dead end, Jacob.
The vicious edge to her words left me floundering. I hadn't expected to have my anger trumped. I don't understand.
You would if you weren't just like the rest of them. If my female stuff...
She thought the words with a hard, sarcastic tone.
Didn't send you running for cover just like any stupid male, so you could actually pay attention to what it all means.
Oh. Yeah, so none of us like to think about that stuff with her. Who would? Of course, I remembered Leah's panic that first month after she joined the pack, and I remembered cringing away from it just like everyone else. Because she couldn't be pregnant. Not unless there was some really freaky religious immaculate crap going on. She hadn't been with anyone since Sam. And then, when the weeks dragged on and nothing turned into more nothing, she'd realized that her body wasn't following the normal patterns anymore. The horror. What was she now? Had her body changed because she'd become a werewolf? Or had she become a werewolf because her body was wrong? The only female werewolf in the history of forever. Was that because she wasn't as female as she should be? None of us had wanted to deal with that breakdown. Obviously, it wasn't like we could empathize.
You know why Sam thinks we imprint?
She thought, calmer now. Sure, to carry on the line.
Right, to make a bunch of new little werewolves. Survival of the species, genetic override. You're drawn to the person who gives you the best chance to pass on the wolf gene.
I waited for her to tell me where she was going with this.
If I was any good for that, Sam would have been drawn to me.
Her pain was enough that I broke stride under it.
But I'm not. There's something wrong with me. I don't have the ability to pass on the gene, apparently, despite my stellar bloodlines. So I become a freak, the girly wolf, good for nothing else. I'm a genetic dead end, and we both know it.
We do not, I argued with her. That's just Sam's theory. Imprinting happens, but we don't know why. Billy thinks it's something else.
I know, I know. He thinks you're imprinting to make stronger wolves, because you and Sam are such humongous monsters, bigger than our fathers. But either way, I'm still not a candidate. I'm menopausal. I'm 20 years old and I'm menopausal.
Ugh, I so didn't want to have this conversation. You don't know that, Leah. It's probably just the whole frozen in time thing. When you quit your wolf and start getting older again, I'm sure things will, pick right back up.
I might think that, except that no one's imprinting on me, notwithstanding my impressive pedigree. You know,
she added thoughtfully,
if you weren't around, Seth would probably have the best claim to being Alpha, through his blood at least. Of course, no one would ever consider me.
You really want to imprint, or be imprinted on, or whichever? I demanded. What's wrong with going out and falling in love like a normal person, Leah? Imprinting is just another way of getting your choices taken away from you.
Sam, Jared, Paul, Quill, they don't seem to mind.
None of them have a mind of their own.
You don't want to imprint?
Hell no.
That's just because you're already in love with her. That would go away, you know, if you imprinted. You wouldn't have to hurt over her anymore.
Do you want to forget the way you feel about Sam? She deliberated for a moment.
I think I do.
I sighed. She was in a healthier place than I was.
But back to my original point, Jacob. I understand why your blonde vampire is so cold, in the figurative sense. She's focused. She's got her eyes on the prize, right? Because you always want the very most what you can never, ever have.
You would act like Rosalie? You would murder someone? Because that's what she's doing, making sure no one interferes with Bella's death. You would do that to have a baby? Since when are you a breeder?
I just want the options I don't have, Jacob. Maybe, if there was nothing wrong with me, I would never give it a thought.
You would kill for that? I demanded, not letting her escape my question.
That's not what she's doing. I think it's more like she's living vicariously. And if Bella asked me to help her with this...
She paused, considering.
Even though I don't think too much of her, I'd probably do the same as the bloodsucker.
A loud snarl ripped through my teeth.
Because if it was turned around, I'd want Bella to do that for me. And so would Rosalie. We'd both do it her way.
Ugh, you're as bad as they are.
That's the funny thing about knowing you can't have something. It makes you desperate.
And that's my limit, right there. This conversation is over.
Fine.
It wasn't enough that she'd agreed to stop. I wanted a stronger termination than that. I was only about a mile from where I'd left my clothes, so I phased back to human and walked. I didn't think about our conversation. Not because there wasn't anything to think about, but because I couldn't stand it. I would not see it that way. But it was harder to keep from doing that when Leah had put the thoughts and emotions straight into my head. Yeah, I wasn't running with her when this was finished. She could go be miserable in La Push. One little alpha command before I left for good wasn't going to kill anybody. It was real early when I got to the house. Bella was probably still asleep. I figured I'd poke my head in, see what was going on, give him the green light to go hunting, and then find a patch of grass soft enough to sleep on while human. I wasn't phasing back until Leah was asleep. But there was a lot of low mumbling going on inside the house, so maybe Bella wasn't sleeping. And then I heard the machinery sound from upstairs again. The X-ray? Great. It looked like day 4 on the countdown was starting off with a bang. Alice opened the door for me before I could walk in. She nodded. Hey, Wolf. Hey, Shorty. What's going on upstairs? The big room was empty. All the murmurs were on the second floor. She shrugged her pointy little shoulders.
Maybe another break.
She tried to say the words casually, but I could see the flames in the very back of her eyes. Edward and I weren't the only ones who were burning over this. Alice loved Bella, too. Another rib? I asked hoarsely.
No, pelvis this time.
Funny how it kept hitting me, like each new thing was a surprise. When was I going to stop being surprised? Each new disaster seemed kinda obvious in hindsight. Alice was staring at my hands, watching them tremble. Then we were listening to Rosalie's voice upstairs.
See, I told you I didn't hear a crack. You need your ears checked, Edward.
There was no answer. Alice made a face.
Edward's going to end up ripping Rose into small pieces, I think. I'm surprised she doesn't see that. Or maybe she thinks Emmett will be able to stop him.
I'll take Emmett, I offered. You can help Edward with the ripping part. Alice half-smiled. The procession came down the stairs then. Edward had Bella this time. She was gripping her cup of blood in both hands, and her face was white. I could see that, though he compensated for every tiny movement of his body to keep from jostling her, she was hurting.
Jake,
she whispered, and she smiled through the pain. I stared at her, saying nothing. Edward placed Bella carefully on her couch and sat on the floor by her head. I wondered briefly why they didn't leave her upstairs, and then decided at once that it must be Bella's idea. She'd want to act like things were normal, avoid the hospital setup, and he was humoring her, naturally. Carlisle came down slowly, the last one, his face creased with worry. It made him look old enough to be a doctor for once. Carlisle, I said. We went halfway to Seattle. There's no sign of the pack. You're good to go. Thank you, Jacob. This is good timing. There's much that we need. His black eyes flickered to the cup that Bella was holding so tight. Honestly, I think you're safe to take more than 3. I'm pretty positive that Sam is concentrating on the push. Carlisle nodded in agreement. It surprised me how willingly he took my advice.
If you think so, Alice, Esme, Jasper, and I will go. Then Alice can take Emmett and Rosa.
Not a chance,
Rosalie hissed.
Emmett can go with you now.
You should hunt, Carlisle said in a gentle voice.
His tone didn't soften hers.
I'll hunt when he does,
she growled, jerking her head toward Edward and then flipping her hair back. Carlisle sighed. Jasper and Emmett were down the stairs in a flash, and Alice joined them by the glass back door in the same second. Esme flitted to Alice's side. Carlisle put his hand on my arm. The icy touch did not feel good, but I didn't jerk away. I held still, half in surprise, and half because I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Thank you, he said again,
and then he darted out the door with the other 4. My eyes followed them as they flew across the lawn and then disappeared before I took another breath. Their needs must have been more urgent than I'd imagined. There was no sound for a minute. I could feel someone glaring at me, and I knew who it would be. I'd been planning to take off and get some Z's, but the chance to ruin Rosalie's morning seemed too good to pass up. So I sauntered over to the armchair next to the one Rosalie had and settled in, sprawling out so that my head was tilted toward Bella and my left foot was near Rosalie's face.
Ew, someone put the dog out,
she murmured, wrinkling her nose. Have you heard this one, psycho? How do a blonde's brain cells die? She didn't say anything. Well, I asked, do you know the punchline or not? She looked pointedly at the TV and ignored me. Has she heard it?
I asked Edward. There was no humor on his tense face. He didn't move his eyes from Bella, but he said,
No.
Awesome. So you'll enjoy this, bloodsucker. A blonde's brain cells die alone.
Rosalie still didn't look at me.
I have killed 100 times more often than you have, you disgusting beast. Don't forget that.
Someday, beauty queen, you're going to get tired of just threatening me. I'm really looking forward to that.
Enough, Jacob,
Bella said. I looked down and she was scowling at me. It looked like yesterday's good mood was long gone. Well, I didn't want to bug her.
You want me to take off?
I offered. Before I could hope or fear that she'd finally gotten tired of me, she blinked and her frown disappeared. She seemed totally shocked that I would come to that conclusion.
No, of course not.
I sighed, and I heard Edward sigh very quietly too. I knew he wished she'd get over me too. Too bad he'd never ask her to do anything that might make her unhappy.
You look tired,
Bella commented.
Dead beat, I admitted.
I'd like to beat you dead,
Rosalie muttered, too low for Bella to hear. I just slumped deeper into the chair, getting comfortable. My bare foot dangled closer to Rosalie, and she stiffened. After a few minutes, Bella asked Rosalie for a refill. I felt the wind as Rosalie blew upstairs to get her some more blood. It was really quiet. Might as well take a nap, I figured. And then Edward said, Did you say something? In a puzzled tone. Strange, because no one had said anything, and because Edward's hearing was as good as mine, and he should have known that. He was staring at Bella, and she was staring back. They both looked confused.
Me?
She asked after a second.
I didn't say anything.
He moved onto his knees, leaning forward over her, his expression suddenly intense in a whole different way, his black eyes focused on her face.
What are you thinking about right now?
She stared at him blankly.
Nothing. What's going on?
What were you thinking about a minute ago? He asked.
Just Esme's island and feathers.
Sounded like total gibberish to me, but then she blushed, and I figured I was better off not knowing.
Say something else, he whispered.
Like what? Edward, what's going on?
His face changed again, and he did something that made my mouth fall open with a pop. I heard a gasp behind me, and I knew that Rosalie was back, and just as flabbergasted as I was. Edward, very lightly, put both of his hands against her huge round stomach. He swallowed.
The baby likes the sound of your voice.
There was one short beat of total silence. I could not move a muscle, even to blink. Then,
Holy crow, you can hear him!
Bella shouted. In the next second, she winced. Edward's hand moved to the top peak of her belly and gently rubbed the spot where it must have kicked her.
Shh,
he murmured.
You startled it.
Him. Her eyes got all wide and full of wonder. She patted the side of her stomach.
Sorry, baby.
Edward was listening hard, his head tilted toward the bulge.
What's he thinking now?
She demanded eagerly.
He or she is...
He paused and looked up into her eyes. His eyes were filled with a similar awe, only his were more careful and grudging.
He's happy,
Edward said in an incredulous voice. Her breath caught, and it was impossible not to see the fanatical gleam in her eyes, the adoration and the devotion. Big, fat tears overflowed her eyes and ran silently down her face and over her smiling lips. As he stared at her, his face was not frightened or angry or burning or any of the other expressions he'd worn since their return. He was marveling with her.
Of course you're happy, pretty baby. Of course you are.
She crooned, rubbing her stomach while the tears washed her cheeks.
How could you not be? All safe and warm and loved.
I love you so much, little EJ. Of course you're happy.
What did you call him? Edward asked curiously. She blushed again.
I sort of named him. I didn't think you would want... Well, you know.
EJ?
Your father's name was Edward, too.
Yes, it was.
What?
He paused and then said,
What?
He likes my voice, too.
Of course he does.
Her tone was almost gloating now.
You have the most beautiful voice in the universe. Who wouldn't love it? Do you have a backup plan?
Rosalie asked then, leaning over the back of the sofa with the same wondering, gloating look on her face that was on Bella's.
What if he's a she?
Bella wiped the back of her hand under her wet eyes.
I kicked a few things around, playing with Renee and Esme. I was thinking, Renesme. Renesme? R-E-N-E-S-M-E-E. Too weird? No, I like it,
Rosalie assured her. Their heads were close together, gold and mahogany.
It's beautiful, and one of a kind, so that fits. I still think he's an Edward.
Edward was staring off into space, his face blank as he listened.
What?
Bella asked, her face just glowing away.
What's he thinking now?
At first he didn't answer, and then, shocking all the rest of us again, three distinct and separate gasps, he laid his ear tenderly against her belly.
He loves you, Edward whispered, sounding dazed. He absolutely adores you.
In that moment, I knew that I was alone. All alone. I wanted to kick myself when I realized how much I'd been counting on that loathsome vampire. How stupid, as if you could ever trust a leech. Of course he would betray me in the end. I'd counted on him to be on my side. I'd counted on him to suffer more than I suffered. And most of all, I'd counted on him to hate that revolting thing killing Bella more than I hated it. I'd trusted him with that. Yet now they were together. The two of them bent over the budding, invisible monster with their eyes lit up like a happy family. And I was all alone with my hatred and the pain that was so bad it was like being tortured. Like being dragged slowly across a bed of razor blades. Pain so bad you'd take death with a smile just to get away from it. The heat unlocked my frozen muscles, and I was on my feet. All three of their heads snapped up, and I watched my pain ripple across Edward's face as he trespassed in my head again.
Ah!
He choked. I didn't know what I was doing. I stood there, trembling, ready to bolt for the very first escape that I could think of. Moving like the strike of a snake, Edward darted to a small end table and ripped something from the drawer there. He tossed it at me, and I caught the object reflexively.
Go, Jacob. Get away from here.
He didn't say it harshly. He threw the words at me like they were a life preserver. He was helping me find the escape I was dying for. The object in my hand was a set of car keys. Chapter 17. What do I look like? The Wizard of Oz? You need a brain? You need a heart? Go ahead, take mine. Take everything I have. I sort of had a plan as I ran to the Cullen's garage. The second part of it was totaling the Bloodsucker's car on my way back. So I was at a loss when I mashed the button on the keyless remote, and it was not his Volvo that beeped and flashed its lights for me. It was another car. A standout even in the long line of vehicles that were mostly all jewel-worthy in their own ways. Did he actually mean to give me the keys to an Aston Martin Vanquish? Or was that an accident? I didn't pause to think about it, or if this would change that second part of my plan. I just threw myself into the silky leather seat and cranked the engine while my knees were still crunched up under the steering wheel. The sound of the motor's purr might have made me moan another day, but right now it was all I could do to concentrate enough to put it in drive. I found the seat release and shoved myself back as my foot rammed the pedal down. The car felt almost airborne as it leaped forward. It only took seconds to race through the tight, winding drive. The car responded to me like my thoughts were steering rather than my hands. As I blew out of the green tunnel and onto the highway, I caught a fleeting glimpse of Leah's gray face peering uneasily through the ferns. For half a second, I wondered what she'd think, and then I realized that I didn't care. I turned south because I had no patience today for ferries or traffic or anything else that meant I might have to lift my foot off the pedal. In a sick way, it was my lucky day. If by lucky, you meant taking a well-traveled highway at 200 without so much as seeing one cop, even in the 30-mile-an-hour speed trap towns. What a letdown. A little chase action might have been nice, not to mention that the license plate info would bring the heat down on the leech. Sure, he'd buy his way out of it, but it might have been just a little inconvenient for him. The only sign of surveillance I came across was just a hint of dark brown fur flitting through the woods, running parallel to me for a few miles on the south side of Forks. Quill, it looked like. He must have seen me, too, because he disappeared after a minute without raising an alarm. Again, I almost wondered what his story would be before I remembered that I didn't care. I raced around the long U-shaped highway, heading for the biggest city I could find. That was the first part of my plan. It seemed to take forever, probably because I was still on the razor blades, but it actually didn't even take 2 hours before I was driving north into the undefined sprawl that was part Tacoma and part Seattle. I slowed down then, because I really wasn't trying to kill any innocent bystanders. This was a stupid plan. It wasn't going to work. But as I'd searched my head for any way at all to get away from the pain, what Lee had said today had popped in there.
That would go away, you know. If you imprinted, you wouldn't have to hurt over her anymore.
Seemed like maybe getting your choices taken away from you wasn't the very worst thing in the world. Maybe feeling like this was the very worst thing in the world. But I'd seen all the girls in La Push and up on the Macaw Res and in Forks. I needed a wider hunting range. So how do you look for a random soulmate in a crowd? Well, first, I needed a crowd. So I tooled around looking for a likely spot. I passed a couple of malls, which probably would have been pretty good places to find girls my age, but I couldn't make myself stop. Did I want to imprint on some girl who hung out in a mall all day? I kept going north, and it got more and more crowded. Eventually, I found a big park full of kids and families, and skateboards and bikes and kites and picnics and the whole bit. I hadn't noticed till now. It was a nice day, sun and all that. People were out celebrating the blue sky. I parked across two handicapped spots, just begging for a ticket, and joined the crowd. I walked around for what felt like hours, long enough that the sun changed sides in the sky. I stared into the face of every girl who passed anywhere near me, making myself really look, noticing who was pretty and who had blue eyes and who looked good in braces and who had way too much makeup on. I tried to find something interesting about each face so that I would know for sure that I'd really tried. Things like, this one had a really straight nose. That one should pull her hair out of her eyes. This one could do lipstick ads if the rest of her face was as perfect as her mouth. Sometimes they stared back. Sometimes they looked scared, like they were thinking, who is this big freak glaring at me? Sometimes I thought they looked kind of interested. But maybe that was just my ego running wild. Either way, nothing. Even when I met the eyes of the girl who was, no contest, the hottest girl in the park, and probably in the city, and she stared right back with a speculation that looked like interest, I felt nothing. Just the same desperate drive to find a way out of the pain. As time went on, I started noticing all the wrong things. Bella things. This one's hair was the same color. That one's eyes were sort of shaped the same. This one's cheekbones cut across her face in just the same way. That one had the same little crease between her eyes, which made me wonder what she was worrying about. That was when I gave up, because it was beyond stupid to think that I had picked exactly the right place and time, and I was going to simply walk into my soulmate just because I was so desperate to. It wouldn't make sense to find her here anyway. If Sam was right, the best place to find my genetic match would be in La Push, and clearly no one there fit the bill. If Billy was right, then who knew? What made for a stronger wolf? I wandered back to the car and then slumped against the hood and played with the keys. Maybe I was what Leah thought she was, some kind of dead end that shouldn't be passed on to another generation. Or maybe it was just that my life was a big, cruel joke, and there was no escape from the punchline.
Hey, you okay? Hello? You there with the stolen car?
It took me a second to realize that the voice was talking to me, and then another second to decide to raise my head. A familiar-looking girl was staring at me, her expression kind of anxious. I knew why I recognized her face. I'd already cataloged this one. Light red gold hair, fair skin, a few gold-colored freckles sprinkled across her cheeks and nose, and eyes the color of cinnamon.
If you're feeling that remorseful over boosting the car, she said,
smiling so that a dimple popped out in her chin.
You could always turn yourself in.
It's borrowed, not stolen, I snapped. My voice sounded horrible, like I'd been crying or something. Embarrassing.
Sure, that'll hold up in court.
I glowered. You need something?
Not really. I was kidding about the car, you know. It's just that you look really upset about something. Oh, hey, I'm Lizzie.
She held out her hand. I looked at it until she let it fall.
Anyway, she said awkwardly, I was just wondering if I could help. Seemed like you were looking for someone before.
She gestured toward the park and shrugged. Yeah. She waited. I sighed. I don't need any help. She's not here.
Oh, sorry.
Me too, I muttered. I looked at the girl again, Lizzie. She was pretty. Nice enough to try to help a grouchy stranger who must seem nuts. Why couldn't she be the one? Why did everything have to be so freaking complicated? Nice girl, pretty, and sort of funny. Why not?
This is a beautiful car, she said. It's really a shame they're not making them anymore. I mean, the Vantage's body styling is gorgeous too, but there's just something about the Vanquish.
Nice girl who knew cars? Wow. I stared at her face harder, wishing I knew how to make it work. Come on, Jake. Imprint already.
How's it drive?
She asked. Like you wouldn't believe, I told her. She grinned her one dimple smile, clearly pleased to have dragged a halfway civil response out of me, and I gave her a reluctant smile back. But her smile did nothing about the sharp, cutting blades that raked up and down my body. No matter how much I wanted it to, my life was not going to come together like that. I wasn't in that healthier place where Leah was headed. I wasn't going to be able to fall in love like a normal person. Not when I was bleeding over someone else. Maybe, if it was 10 years from now and Bella's heart was long dead, and I'd hauled myself through the whole grieving process and come out in one piece again, maybe then I could offer Lizzie a ride in a fast car and talk makes and models and get to know something about her and see if I liked her as a person. But that wasn't going to happen now. Magic wasn't going to save me. I was just going to have to take the torture like a man, suck it up. Lizzie waited, maybe hoping I was going to offer her that ride. Or maybe not.
I'd better get this car back to the guy I borrowed it from, I muttered.
She smiled again.
Glad to hear you're going straight.
Yeah, you convinced me. She watched me get in the car, still sort of concerned. I probably look like someone who's about to drive off a cliff, which maybe I would have, if that kind of move would work for a werewolf. She waved once, her eyes trailing after the car. At first, I drove more sanely on the way back. I wasn't in a rush. I didn't want to go where I was going. Back to that house. Back to that forest. Back to the pain I'd run from. Back to being absolutely alone with it. Okay, that was melodramatic. I wouldn't be all alone, but that was a bad thing. Leah and Seth would have to suffer with me. I was glad Seth wouldn't have to suffer long. Kid didn't deserve to have his peace of mind ruined. Leah didn't either, but at least it was something she understood. Nothing new about pain for Leah. I sighed big as I thought about what Leah wanted from me, because I knew now that she was going to get it. I was still pissed at her, but I couldn't ignore the fact that I could make her life easier. And, now that I knew her better, I thought she would probably do this for me if our positions were reversed. It would be interesting, at the very least, and strange, too, to have Leah as a companion, as a friend. We were going to get under each other's skin a lot, that was for sure. She wouldn't be one to let me wallow, but I thought that was a good thing. I'd probably need someone to kick my butt now and then. But when it came right down to it, she was really the only friend who had any chance of understanding what I was going through now. I thought of the hunt this morning, and how close our minds had been for that one moment in time. It hadn't been a bad thing. Different. A little scary. A little awkward. But also nice in a weird way. I didn't have to be all alone. And I knew Leah was strong enough to face with me the months that were coming. Months and years. It made me tired to think about it. I felt like I was staring out across an ocean that I was going to have to swim from shore to shore before I could rest again. So much time coming, and then so little time before it started. Before I was flung into that ocean. 3.5 more days, and here I was, wasting that little bit of time I had. I started driving too fast again. I saw Sam and Jared, one on either side of the road like sentinels, as I raced up the road toward Forks. They were well hidden in the thick branches, but I was expecting them, and I knew what to look for. I nodded as I blew past them, not bothering to wonder what they made of my day trip. I nodded to Leah and Seth, too, as I cruised up the Collins driveway. It was starting to get dark, and the clouds were thick on this side of the sound, but I saw their eyes glitter in the glow of the headlights. I would explain to them later. There'd be plenty of time for that. It was a surprise to find Edward waiting for me in the garage. I hadn't seen him away from Bella in days. I could tell from his face that nothing bad had happened to her. In fact, he looked more peaceful than before. My stomach tightened as I remembered where that peace came from.